All right, listeners, get ready for a wild one, because today we're diving deep into a story that proves truth is sometimes way stranger than fiction. We're going all the way back to 1956 West Virginia for the case of Tickle versus Barton. Picture this: a banquet, an unsuspecting guest, and a lawsuit served right up with dessert.
Oh, this case is a perfect example of how procedural rules, they're not just some boring legal technicalities. They're there to make sure everything's fair and to protect the whole legal system. Tickle versus Barton really pushes that idea to the limit.
Okay, so set the scene for us. What exactly happened at this banquet that ended up with a case going all the way to the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia?
Well, it all started with a car accident. A miner named Richard Tickle got injured on private property and sued the driver and the owner of the car, a man named Raymond Barton. Here's the thing, though. Barton lived out of state, which made it pretty tough to officially serve him with those lawsuit papers.
So we've got an out-of-state defendant, someone who's been injured and wants their day in court, and a lawyer facing a challenge. How did Tickle's lawyer handle this? Did they just give up?
Not a chance. Remember that banquet I mentioned? Well, that's where things get interesting. Tickle's lawyer got a little creative, let's say, and invited Barton to a banquet in McDowell County, West Virginia. Now, you might be thinking, what's so wrong with inviting someone to dinner?
Yeah, it seems a little fishy maybe, but not illegal, right?
The catch is, the invitation was a trick. Barton had no clue that the person who invited him was actually the lawyer for the other side in the lawsuit. He was basically lured into the state.
Hold on. They tricked him into coming to West Virginia just so they could serve him with a lawsuit.
That's some seriously sneaky legal maneuvering.
Oh, Barton was furious when they served him at the banquet. I mean, who wouldn't be? He felt totally cheated, and he argued that because of all that deception, the court shouldn't even be allowed to hear the case. He filed something called a plea in abatement, basically saying the court didn't have the power to handle this case because of the dirty way they got him there.
A plea in abatement? It sounds pretty serious, like straight out of law school. It is a formal legal move, but think of it this way. Imagine a court is a stage, and jurisdiction is like the curtain. If the curtain doesn't open, the play can't start. Barton's plea was him saying, hold on, that curtain shouldn't be going up because I was dragged onto the stage unfairly.
That's a great way to explain it. So the court had to decide a big question. Can you really trick someone into being under court's authority? What did they decide?
The court took Barton's side in a big way. They basically said, no, you can't use tricks to force someone into court. Justice Haman, the one who wrote the main opinion, really made it clear. He said, serving someone with legal papers by using fraud, trickery, or deception doesn't give the court jurisdiction.
Wow, that's a pretty clear message. So they established some rules about what makes serving legal papers the wrong way. I bet this case caused quite a stir among lawyers.
It definitely did. The court created a test to figure out if serving someone with papers is invalid because of trickery. Basically, there are four things they look at. First, the person being sued has to live outside the area where the court has power. Second, they have to have been tricked into coming to that area. Third, the person suing them or their lawyer has to be the one who tricked them. And finally, the only reason for the trickery had to be to serve them with those legal papers.
So it's like a checklist to see if someone's been unfairly pulled into court. It's not just about whether the person felt tricked, it's about the method used to get them there. But did everyone on the court agree about this?
Actually, there was one judge who disagreed. Justice Given didn't see things the same way as the majority.
Interesting. So not everyone thought this was a clear-cut case of trickery.
Justice Given argued that Tickle's lawyer didn't technically lie to Barton. He just left out some crucial details, like the fact that he was the lawyer for the other side. Given didn't think that was the same as actually lying.
So then it becomes a question of, is withholding information the same as straight-up lying? It seems like there's a gray area when it comes to fraud, trickery, or deception.
Exactly. The dissenting opinion asks us to consider, where do we draw the line between being a clever lawyer and just being deceitful? It's something all lawyers have to wrestle with, and it's one of the reasons Tickle versus Barton is still relevant today.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Before the break, we were talking about that fine line between really going to bat for your client and, well, not pulling a banquet ambush.
Exactly. It feels like lawyers are always on this tightrope between fighting hard and keeping the legal system fair. How do they decide where that line is?
It's a tough one, and there's no simple answer. But Tickle versus Barton shows us why those procedural rules are so important. It's not just about someone feeling tricked, it's about protecting the system as a whole.
So let's say hypothetically Barton said later, you know what, I actually did want to be served. That whole banquet thing was kind of fun. Would the court still have a problem with it? Yeah, totally. The court's worried about setting a bad example, even if it works out okay. In one case, it's about making it clear that you can't mess around when it comes to jurisdiction.
So it's about making things fair for everyone, no matter how they feel about getting sued. But this makes me wonder, we keep saying jurisdiction, like it's this huge thing, but what does it actually mean practically?
You're right. Sometimes the legal words can make things confusing in simple terms. Jurisdiction is about a court's power to hear a case. It's like asking, does this court have the authority to make decisions about this specific situation and these specific people?
So it's about figuring out the limits of a court's power. Not every court can hear every case, right?
Exactly. There are different types of jurisdiction. For example, subject matter jurisdiction is about whether a court can handle a specific type of case. Like a family court wouldn't be dealing with a patent dispute, would it?
Right. That makes sense. So what kind of jurisdiction was the issue in Tickle versus Barton?
That was all about personal jurisdiction, which is about the court's power over a specific person. It's about whether the person being sued has enough connection to the state where the lawsuit is filed to make it fair for them to defend themselves there.
So with Barton, since he lived in a different state, it wasn't clear if a West Virginia court could force him to answer to a lawsuit there.
Exactly. And that's where service of process comes in. It's the official way that the court establishes its power over the person being sued.
Ah, the famous banquet invitation. It wasn't just a sneaky trick. It was an attempt to give the court power over Barton.
You got it. Service of process is basically the court saying, you've been officially told about this lawsuit, now you have to respond. It's a super important step, and there are specific rules about how it has to be done. You can't just tweet it to them.
So it's all about being fair and open. The defendant has to be properly told and given a real chance to respond. It all comes back to that idea of a level playing field.
Absolutely. And in Tickle versus Barton, the court said clearly that you can't use tricks or deception to get around those rules, even if you think it's the right thing to do in the end.
But didn't the judge who disagreed say that there wasn't really any deception, just some information conveniently left out?
True. And that brings us back to that tension we were talking about before. On the one hand, lawyers have an ethical duty to fight for their clients, which often means using every legal tool they have.
But they can't just do whatever it takes to win, can they? There have to be limits, even when two sides are fighting it out.
Exactly. And Tickle versus Barton reminds us that those limits exist for a good reason. Justice Haymond, in his opinion, really emphasized that courts value fairness above everything else. They won't let procedural shortcuts slide, even if the defendant eventually finds out about the lawsuit.
It's like the court is saying, we care about how you play the game just as much as whether you win or lose.
Could have said it better myself. Tickle versus Barton is a warning not just for lawyers in West Virginia, but for everyone in the legal profession. It shows that winning at all costs can really backfire.
Speaking of which, you mentioned earlier that there was a similar case in New York, Wyman versus Newhouse. What happened there and how does it connect to Tickle?
Oh, in Wyman, a woman tricked her ex-fiance into coming from Florida to New York. She told him she was sick and wanted to see him one last time, but her real reason was to serve him with a lawsuit. Sound familiar?
It's like the banquet all over again, but with extra drama.
The New York court, just like the West Virginia court in Tickle, threw the case out. They said that tricking someone into the state to serve them makes the service invalid. It shows that this principle isn't just a weird West Virginia thing. It's a fundamental part of being fair that courts everywhere take seriously.
So the message is clear. Don't try to cheat when it comes to jurisdiction. But what if there were legitimate reasons for Barton to be in West Virginia that had nothing to do with the lawsuit?
Right.
Like, what if he was there for a business meeting that just happened to be at the same time as the banquet? Would that change anything?
That's a good question, and it gets to the heart of what the court cares about when looking at service of process. It's not just about whether the defendant was physically in the state, it's about why they were there.
So if the trick the plaintiff pulled is the main reason the defendant is in the state, then the service is invalid. Even if there were other reasons for the trip, it's like the court is saying, we see what you're doing, even if you try to disguise it.
You got it. The court is basically saying we're not falling for coincidences. The focus is on whether the defendant would have been in the state no matter what the plaintiff did.
That makes a lot of sense. But I have to admit, part of me still wonders if the court was being a little too strict in Tickle versus Barton. Couldn't they have just told the lawyer off for the banquet scheme and let the case go on? After all, Barton was served. He knew about the lawsuit. Why not just continue?
That's a fair point. It shows the debate about what procedural rules are for. Are they just technicalities that can be ignored when it's convenient, or are they fundamental safeguards that need to be strictly followed, even if it means a case gets delayed or thrown out?
It seems like the court in Tickle really believed in sticking to the rules. They weren't willing to compromise on the integrity of the process, even if it meant things might be harder or slower.
That's right, and that decision has had a lasting impact on how lawyers approach jurisdiction and service of process. Tickle versus Barton is a constant reminder that while it's important to fight hard for your client, you can't do it by sacrificing fairness and the rule of law.
It's definitely a tricky balance and one that lawyers have to be careful about. But it sounds like the court in Tickle gave some much-needed guidance on where the lines are now. Before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to test your legal knowledge with one last hypothetical scenario. All right, so let's put that legal brain of yours to the test with a hypothetical scenario based on Tickle versus Barton. Let's say you're a lawyer and your client is suing someone who lives right across the state line. But this person works in your state. They cross that border every day for their job. Could you just hang out near their work and serve them there?
That's a clever idea, but it still runs into that same issue from Tickle versus Barton. Remember, the court was really clear. You can't base jurisdiction on tricking someone or taking advantage of the routine, even if they're technically in the state for work. Serving them there could be seen as trying to get around the rules.
So even though they're physically in the state, the court might still say no because it feels like an ambush. It seems like they really want to make sure the defendant has a fair chance to know what's coming, legally speaking.
You're absolutely right. Courts want to make sure that defendants have a real opportunity to respond to a lawsuit, and just springing it on them during their workday might not be considered fair.
Okay, let's try a different scenario. What if the defendant is a social media influencer always posting about their travel plans? You're the smart lawyer, and you see they're coming to your state for a conference. Can you serve them while they're there since, you know, they'd be in the state anyway?
Now, that's an interesting one. It shows how technology is changing the legal world. While it's probably okay to use public information like social media posts for investigations, using that info to serve someone could still be a problem.
That's like a modern version of that banquet invitation, isn't it? Using someone's online activity to your advantage.
Exactly. The big problem the court had in Tickle versus Barton was that the defendant was tricked into coming to the state, tracking someone online, and then serving them while they're doing their thing, even if it's a public event, could still be seen as a kind of digital manipulation.
So even though we're in the world of social media and everyone's connected all the time, the same ideas of fairness and transparency still matter. You can't just use technology to cheat the system.
Right, and that's super important for anyone in the legal world. As technology changes, the law has to adapt. But those core values of fairness and due process, they always stay the same.
It's like the rules of the game are changing, but playing fair is always the goal.
That's a great way to put it. And cases like Tickle versus Barton give us a way to think about these changing issues. They help make sure the legal system keeps up with the times, but also sticks to its principles.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Tickle versus Barton, what's the big takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
Fighting for justice has to be about more than just winning. It means being dedicated to protecting the legal process itself. Every step from how someone is served with a lawsuit to the final decision has to be done fairly and ethically.
It's a good reminder that the law is more than just rules. Yeah. It shows what we value as a society. Fairness, transparency, accountability. Those are values worth fighting for.
Well said, and with that, we'll bring this deep dive to a close. Thanks for joining us as we explore Tickle versus Barton and all the twists and turns of jurisdiction and service of process. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp.